Our second scripture lesson is from Paul's letter to the Romans. He writes concerning the new life in Christ, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." This is the word of the Lord. We are continuing our series of Lenten sermons on keeping the Sabbath holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y, and the spelling is intentional, as intentional as the word Sabbath is. How we are commanded to observe, to remember the Sabbath, and using the verb cease and rest and embrace and feast. And last week we looked at what it is to cease. And I know, you know, stopping work is not easy. It tests us. Will the world and us fall apart if we stop making things happen for a while? Doesn't God need my help all the time? But today we look at what we are to do, what happens when we cease, and that is to rest. As someone told me, we are so proud of our Protestant work ethic, but we need to develop a Protestant rest ethic. Look back at the creation story in Genesis 2. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that God had done, and God rested on the seventh day from all that God had done. So God blessed the seventh day, hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that had been done in creation. A.J. Carr, one of our ninth grade confirmands, in his Lenten devotional this past week said, "If I could describe this scripture in one word, it would be necessary." If it is essential for God to rest, A.J. says, it is certainly essential for humans. And as strange as it sounds, rest means we do nothing. But that nothing is really something. It is certainly as God, something that God makes, as A.J. says, necessary. I recently read an article about contemporary homes and neighborhoods, and one architect was urging the return of front porches to all homes. He said, "All we have now are spaces for coming and going. The garage is what really is the front door of our home. We need a place to stop and sit, to sit with each other, and a place from which to invite our neighbors into our homes, into our lives." I think of Rachel Held Evans' book, Searching for Sunday, or Sabbath in the Suburbs by Marianne McKibben Dana, both of which have been studied by Sunday school classes, different Sunday school classes here at First Presbyterian Church. Books about people looking for a place to sit in the midst of, as A.J. said, in the midst of our stress-filled lives. Sabbath. Sabbath is that front porch from which God invites you and me to rest with God in keeping Sabbath. When we cease on Sabbath, so we can become more deeply immersed in the peace of God and enjoy our true sanity. One Old Testament scholar notes that the Hebrew word for God's resting used in the fourth commandment literally means to catch one's breath. In other words, this commandment is designed to provide two things for us, refreshment and restoration, that we are restored and refreshed when the day is over. And it includes those who have no control over their life, the slaves, They're not the ones who can say, oh, I think during spring break I'm going to go down to Florida, or I'm going to take this weekend off and go to the lake house. No, this is meant for everyone, even you and me. So let's be honest. That the world has invaded the Sabbath and will continue to take it away from us in every way that's possible. If you're waiting for someone to say, here is time for you, no one will ever schedule anything on top of this or expect anything from you that could not be done another time. You and I know that's not going to happen. Let me be clear. This is not a sermon on time management. Sabbath rest is a matter of how we manage what Paul describes as our spiritual worship. The question is, what is your approach to Sabbath rest? How do you rest for your Sabbath? Physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually. And the answer is as individualized as you are an individual for who you are, how you are. It can happen any day, any time. But the result of Sabbath resting is the same for all of us. The opportunity to know the presence and peace of God no matter our circumstances. Sabbath resting is an opportunity to know the peace and presence of God no matter our circumstances. For all of us, Sabbath rest requires a decision. If we think we're going to wait until everything is done, then we're going to stop and rest, we'll never get to it. And I'm not going to just point a finger at the world out there. It's us too, you and me. Years ago, when biofeedback was just coming on the scene, someone wrote that she discovered her ordinary ways of trying couldn't produce relaxation. Trying is, for the most part, what we know how to do. Trying is the energy of control. But the mystery of Sabbath rest, the mystery of Sabbath rest is the opposite of control. Every encounter with the reality of God in prayer, in scripture, in worship, in sacrament, in community, in creation, is a call to let go of our idols of productivity and know the truth of who God is. Abraham Heschel, in his wonderful book, The Sabbath, talks about Sabbath rest in terms of the Hebrew word minuha, which means rest. He says the word means much more than withdrawal from labor and exertion, more than freedom from toil or strain or activity of any kind. He puts it in terms of a state of mind, a sense of being where there is no conflict or fighting, no fear or distrust, a place of peace, if you will, to be in a time where we are living life wholly, wholly. And when we do that, life is lived holy, wholly, holy, holy. This might help. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters, literally, the waters of Minuhat. God leads us to Sabbath, to cease and rest in our lives for our souls to be restored. Necessary. So don't look at Sabbath rest as another rule that we all have to keep or God is going to be really mad at us. Think of Sabbath as one of God's great wonderful gifts to us, leading us to those places and times of still waters, refreshment, and restoration. And then let's use what God created on the seventh day, Minuha, this Sabbath rest, in a way that says to God, thank you, God, for this gift of time. Use the time to do things that enrich you or give you something that captures your imagination and feeds your soul, that is relaxing, and letting go of trying to be God. Find something that signifies you are in a different mode of being than those other days, that different state of mind that comes with Sabbath rest, presenting yourself to God, your spiritual worship. John Claypool described it as that moment when you experience the incredible all rightness of how it ought to be. The incredible all rightness of how it ought to be. I like the way Joan Pinson in her Lenten devotional yesterday reminds us that what that means at age 20 is very different for us at age 70. As she said, it is not our worldly persona that matters, but how we worship God with our heart. This is the essence of the Hebrew word shalom, which we translate peace, which means, most importantly, peace with God. And if we're not at peace with God, no other kind of peace is possible. The peace that comes with Sabbath rest, it's not what's left when you take everything away. That's plain old boredom. That's like being in a sensory deprivation chamber. As a little girl said when she wouldn't stay down for her nap, "I'm tired of resting." The peace of Sabbath rest is in letting yourself catch up to God or in letting God catch up to where you are. The late Beverly Seals, a great opera singer, not only had a beautiful voice, but she had a beautiful understanding of peace. She called it her stillness. She learned that when she was under stress, I can't think of anything more stressful than having to sing opera for 3 or 4 hours in front of a lot of people. And I know some of you are saying, listening to it is just as stressful. But what she said is she learned that when she felt this stress, she learned to stop and quiet herself wherever she was and let the peace of God catch up to her. Sabbath rest and the connection with God and with others and with ourselves that comes with it are part of what in God's goodness has been given to us so that we can enjoy the best God has intended for us. Sabbath rest is a gift that God has given so that everything and all creation can have the opportunity to be refreshed, restored. Sabbath rest is a time for us to focus on God, to feel connected to God, so that we may discern, embrace, live what is the will of God, good and acceptable and perfect. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. And when you cease and listen, I believe you will hear from the front porch of Sabbath God saying to you and me, "Come on up, rest a while. I want to enjoy your company. Come on up, rest a while. I want to enjoy your company." To God be the glory.